And may we just talk to the Lord just now. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, in this time. Lord, it's our privilege, Lord Jesus, Lord, to sit around this table with brothers and sisters, Lord, that we believe that we're going to spend the rest of our life with. Lord, eternity will only tell, Father, who is sitting right beside us, what it meant for us to go through a journey with them, knowing, Father, Lord Jesus, that you set up these things in our mind, Lord. You set up these things, Lord, that we're just thinking about how we're going to do our hair and how what kind of dress that we're going to wear. But, Father, before time, you saw each and every one of us sitting at our table, Lord. But, God, I'm so thankful to know that there has been a reservation, Father, for every one of your children, Lord, to sit around the banqueting table, Father. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would just begin to speak to your children. Lord, you see their needs. You see their hearts. And I pray that this service tonight will be a blessing to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I know that many of you don't have your Bibles, but I would like for you to stand with me just to honor the word of the Lord as we just take a little thought here this evening. The Bible says here in Esther chapter 2, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins under the Shushan and the palace, under the house of the women, under the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things of purification be given them. And let the hidden, or let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the king and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Also, the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into this world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. You may be seated here in the presence of the Lord. I would like to take a thought here this evening on something that the Lord's been dealing with me on for quite some time about these meetings. I would like to take a thought here tonight on destined for the crown. Destined for the crown. And Brother Branham said in the Ephesian church age, he said, the true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. And what he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord, and all her works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God has spoken it. Just to kind of place it in view, as it's been done so wonderfully here tonight, this skit that was put on, we recognize, just to set a basis here for this thought here tonight, we recognize that the king had made a feast just like this one. The king had showed all of his riches for many, many days unto the kings and the princes of the land, and there were special arrangements that was made. And then the king called for a feast of all the people of the land. And there, all the accommodations that were made and set, and all the things were made for the vast crowd that was going to come. We're sitting here. I understand that it's about 190 to close to 200 young people sitting here. But in that time when King Ahasuerus was sitting in his condition or in his place of position, he was sitting there, and it is told in history that Persian kings, when they would hold a feast of this matter, it would hold anywhere from 15,000 to 18,000 people at one time. No, and it would be held in the garden because there would be huge amounts of people, and all the accommodations were made, and all of the things were made according to the things of how the king liked it, exactly to the way the king stated in his decrees and how he wanted things. And when the people would come in, they would sit there. And they would sit around and they would be dazzled by the columns of marble. They would look at the king's favorite colors of blue, green, and white, of tapestries that would hold the curtains and things. And they would be sitting in a place or a condition. And all of it was to match the king's kingship. All of it was in place. There was nothing that was lacking, kind of like what we see here tonight. The couches that were laid out for men to rest upon, they were made of gold. These people that were sitting there that were from the different provinces, they were taking of the best of the wine that the king had stored up only for himself. But the king did not hold any of the stimulation back. He gave it to the people according to his will. And we recognize that on the seventh day is when he made a call for the queen. And then Vashti did not come unto the king. But we recognize that there was a call for somebody to come and to take the crown. Somebody to step into the place. Now the Bible said in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I know that many of you are sitting here from all the way from 15 years old and upwards. But one of the greatest treasures that you can have in life that you'll find is a helpmate. And any man that has been married for quite some time, he knows the difference between a good wife and the opposite. But one of the greatest things that God can give you is a lovely wife or a helpmate, somebody that is faithful, somebody that is true, somebody that is honest, somebody that is honorable, that is trustworthy, and somebody that has a love towards you, no matter whether it's male or female, that their love, it passes beyond barriers, it looks beyond faults, that her love knows no distance, her love knows no bounds, her love is patient, her love is kind, her love is passionate. She is a woman. If you are really seeking for a woman or a man, you are wanting somebody that fears the Lord, somebody that's got the kind of love that actually has the attributes of Almighty God that has been deposited in that other vessel that you're looking for. That other one, that woman that he is looking for, will have the kind of words like Ruth would say unto Naomi when Orpah would kiss her on the cheeks and turn back to the Moabitess gods. Ruth would look unto her, Naomi, and said, and treat me not to turn away as well. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. Where you're buried, that's where I'll be buried at. And that's the kind of love that God is wanting to find in somebody that is fit to wear the crown in his position and in his place that he has set aside. And we recognize that all the way back, as you look and you look at the drama of God's great drama that he laid out for us. We read it in the word that God had longed for a helpmate. God had longed for a counterpart that we see all the way there in the Garden of the Eden. That God seen Adam, that he was in a place where Adam had all the animals. He had everything that could accommodate him in the natural. But yet there was something on the inside of Adam that was lacking. And it was something on Adam that he was lonely for a helpmate. So God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And there out of the side of Adam, God pulled a very part of himself out, and he brought forth Eve, which Adam would call a woman, for she is bone of my bone and she is flesh of my flesh. And ever since the Garden of Eden, when you watch how that she walked out, how that Adam and Eve walked and they broke the trust that God had imparted unto them, Almighty God has been waiting for centuries. He's been building a church that he could have that holy union with again. somebody that would love him in sickness or in health, in prosperity and in good times and in bad times. God has been longing for somebody that he could have fellowship with, somebody that would not be deceived by the things of the world, somebody that would fully give over to his complete power. Now, Brother Branham would say it like this in a church age book. He said, now Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride. He said, just as the same as men choose their brides today. He said, the bride today does not simply decide she's going to take a certain man for a husband. No, sir. He said, it's the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. For we know that the Bible said that you didn't choose me. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And Brother Branham goes on to say, he said, the heart purpose of God, the heart purpose and the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. He did not choose you because of who you are or your last name. He did not choose you because of you came because of out of a certain church or out of a certain group. He chose you because you were in his mind before the foundation of the world. And that is exactly what the message of the hour has done for you in this hour. It has taken you and it has placed you in a position that God has been longing for 6,000 years that we know of in time. That God has been longing for a place. That there is a place beside our King that is one that he's wanting to be filled. And that's exactly what the message of the hour has done for you. It has placed you back into a spot that we recognize that we are not a broken bride, but we are a restored bride. A woman that knows fellowship by relationship, by predestination. A woman that understands the assembling of herself together by the fellowship of the Word of God. This God that chose you thought of you before you were ever born here. And before you ever fail and before you ever had mistakes, this God chose you. He elected you. You had certain places that you were destined to set here tonight, and maybe you didn't get to choose exactly where you or who you wanted to set beside, but there was somebody that picked out a spot for you. Aren't you thankful that you didn't have to pick out your own spot in God's mind, that Almighty God already picked out a spot for you? Because if you would have picked your own spot, you'd have been out in misery already. You'd have already been in turmoil. But Almighty God picked a spot for you. And to know this tonight, that your circumstances of life do not change your calling. No matter where you are, no matter where you came from, it does not change your calling. Remember, before Esther was ever to be putting on the crown, she was an orphan. But when by the end of Esther's story, she is not going to be known as an orphan no longer. She's going to be known as a queen. And when God gets done with you, you might have mistakes upon your life. You might have troubles upon your life. But your story is not going to be troubles. Your story is not going to be the stories that were written in Laodicea. But your story is going to be known as the title as Miss Jesus Christ. A lady that was so destined to look the part, to dress the part. Somebody that would be fitting to the kingdom. When you go to studying out Esther's name, her name means star. Somebody that would rise. Somebody that's what we see is a star that would rise, and that's what we watched in this generation. When God would take a star in this generation and hold it in his hands, he was waiting for a certain time to release the seventh star in this generation, because he has a certain time that he's going to release a star, because he knows that star is going to call and it's going to attract a certain people. And when he allowed Esther to rise in her position, it was only for King Xerxes or Ahasuerus that she was fit for him. She was destined to match up with his kingship. And when God allowed William Branham, the seventh star, to be released in this generation, he recognized that it was going to attract a certain people that would have the characteristics that would be called and chosen in this generation that would match him for this hour. because he could not release Luther's star in this generation because it wouldn't match your testimony. He couldn't loose Wesley's star in this generation because it wouldn't match your testimony. But the morning star and the evening star are only reflecting of a greater light. And we recognize by the message that the same star that rises in the morning is the same star that we see in the evening. It's just rolled itself around. So it's a sign unto us that there is going to be an Alpha bride and there is an Omega bride that will stand in this generation. And we recognize that you didn't get here on your own course. You didn't choose your own way. There was somebody that led you. There was somebody that called you. There was somebody that destined before you something. There's a course that is set before you. You may have picked out your career. You may have picked out certain things of your life. But we know that the Bible tells us, or Jesus tells us, that God, that he would be a guide. He would be the spirit of truth. And he would be our comforter. And he would lead us. He would guide us. So no matter what or where you come from, your circumstances of life, he's always been there all the days of your life, watching over you. One of my favorite quotes that William Branham makes a statement, and I believe that it's probably even some of yours, that if you've studied the message, he says in the God who is rich in mercy, he said, now many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. He said, because he said, when you was a child, he said, there was something. He said, there was something there. Maybe it didn't bother maybe this one or that one. He said, but something on the inside of you, it cried out. He said, it was that little germ of life right there and then. It was something on the inside of you that maybe you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know what was calling you. Maybe you didn't know why you didn't go and try to build up certain characteristics of working out your arms so that you could arm wrestle the king's chambermen. Maybe it wasn't certain things that maybe you built up in your life, but there was something there that the rest of the world didn't know. But there was something there that was keeping you all the days of your life when the rest of the world could go out and be a part of the enticing spirits of the generation. You couldn't go after them things because there was a greater calling on your life. And when other people would pick it up, you would put it down. And the reason of this is because you're not a Vashti. I want to say this to you tonight. Vashti will never be an Esther, but Esther will never be a Vashti. There will be a lot of people that think they're called to this wedding supper, but there's only one generation, there's only one person that is set there, that is set for that portion of Scripture that is laying there. The Bible said in Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So I know which one you would choose. Is that right? I know that probably none of y'all have this on your mind. You're probably not here to think about. You're probably only here for the word. You probably didn't come here to meet a significant other. I'm not as dumb as I think, as I look. But there's something I know. But there's something on the inside of you that maybe when you found that one, that it began to sparkle a little something in your eye. Brother Branham would talk about Esther, how that she'd walked out, how that her beautiful hair. And he said her eyes. He would talk about Eve, and he would talk about how that her eyes were as beautiful as the sky. And any of you that have found that significant one, you know what it's a good pickup line if you don't know it. Your daddy must be a thief because he stole the stars from the sky and put them in your eyes. But the first thing, let me move. I didn't come here for pickup lines, but see me after church. You're the only 10 I see, so. But if you're going, but if you found that one, the first thing Brother Branham would tell us, the first thing that comes is a decision. The next is the engagement, then the promise, and then the ceremony. He says this, he says, she takes the bridegroom's name And when the church has the ceremony and makes their promises, then she takes the bridegroom's name. She's no longer a church of the world. She is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, not by name, he said, but by birth, by nature. Power of God revealed to the church in her, in the heart. She becomes a Christian church. And we recognize that there has been a preview in the bride when all the other maidens would come before him. But when it became Esther's turn, she didn't want the things of the world. She wanted only what the king desired. And I believe that that's every call and every Christian's heart. That's only the thing that we want. We don't want the things of Laodicea. We only want what pleases him. If it doesn't please him, I don't want it. If it doesn't please him, I don't want to be a part of it. If it doesn't attract his attention, we shouldn't be a part of it. Because God does not count how beautiful we are in the natural. God counts something way deeper than things on the outside of the appearance. God sets and looks for something that of character. He don't count how many people are here. He is looking for character. Something that will last when the rest of the world has passed away. It's something that he saw in you before the foundation of the world, and everything that you touch seems, as Esther would make her way into the kingdom, everything that she touched was blessed. And when the king's keeper saw her, he knew that there was something different about her. She didn't look like Vashti. She didn't act like Vashti. And when Haggai saw her, how that she handled herself according to Malachi 4's word, he began to watch her, and he was intent on her success. He was going to make sure that the Methodists and the Church of Christ did not get in front of her. He was intent on her success to make sure that he whispered every secret that he knew about the king. Everything that Eliezer knew about Isaac, he was beginning to tell to Rebekah and tell her, this is what the king likes. He likes it just like this. He wants you dressed like this. He wants you to be robed exactly like this. Let me say this to you. Esther submitted herself to Malachi 4's teaching. She didn't pay attention to what the world said, but she paid attention to what the king's chamberlain had in mind. And I believe that is a testament to who you are tonight. The way that you showed up here, brothers, and the way that you showed up here, sisters, it shows in your character that you have been paying attention to Haggai. That there's something about you that maybe you don't even recognize about yourself just now. But there's something about you that you wanted to look the part even when you didn't feel the part. Hallelujah. You're not just another one of the girls, because you're not just destined to walk past him one time. You're destined to spend eternity with him. You're not just destined to come and entertain him and please him every once in a while, but you're destined for the crown, because he trusts your judgment. Because there are certain things that he did not accomplish here while he was here on earth. So he said, greater things than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And I will receive you unto myself. So there is a work for you. So he trusts you. And I think it's very powerful that our Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted some of the greatest youth there is on the face of the earth. He's entrusted you with his very own life. He's entrusted you with his word. He's entrusted you so that you'll not just display himself just at church services, but you'll display him when you walk through the mall. You'll display him when you go to school. He has saw something about you that maybe your parents haven't even seen in you yet, but he has entrusted you with the message of the hour so that you'll carry it out according to his commission. Because we know that the modern church in its condition
commission can never carry out its commission, but it's going to be an elected lady, somebody that's chosen for it, somebody that's called for it. You didn't put yourself here. It was just a call that went out. You didn't put yourself in the picture, but because you were a virgin by the blood of Jesus Christ, he drawed you by his power. He drawed you into the kingdom to match his kingship. She was a woman of character that would do only as the king pleases. As you've seen, the other girls, they wanted to dress themselves. The other girls wanted to paint themselves up. But this lady wanted to dress herself under the robes of Ephesians 4. She wanted to dress herself under apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors. She wanted to dress herself according to the scripture, because she had heard that he was a king that had liked certain things. And when she went in before the king, "Don't dress me the way I want to dress. Don't let me be dressed with my attitude. Don't let me be dressed in my own righteousness. Don't let me be dressed with what I think the message is. But let me be dressed according to the message, the way he wants it to be messed, how he wants it to be fitted in this hour. Don't let me cut off certain parts of the gown. Don't let me cut off certain parts of, I don't need a part of Revelations 3 and 14. I don't need this over here in John 3, 16. But let me be dressed according to the way that he wants me to be dressed." And when you get there on rapture morning, you'll take a spin around and you'll say, "The dress fits me just perfectly." It's a beautiful thing when you begin to watch a wedding, and I know there's several that's getting ready to take place, but when the bride-to-be begins to try on her dress, it shows her character when she picks out a dress according to the message. And when she goes, all the emotions are involved in it. She's waited for this day ever since she was a little bitty girl. She's dreamed about this. She's had little Barbie dolls set out, and she's had all of them at her wedding time and time again. She's got poster boards on Pinterest and different things lined out. "This is how I'm going to do it." She's dreamed about it. But when she puts the dress on, she knows, "I'm in the final moments. I'm in the spot where prophecy is becoming reality." And when you come under the preaching of the word, young people, you're coming under it, you're seeing yourself. And if I could maybe just change your view from what you see in the world, just to see his, you're beginning to look the part. Now, you've dreamed about it for a long time, but maybe I'll change your view. Because whenever I'm at a wedding, a lot of people turn to see the bride, but I always turn to see the groom, because it's his first time seeing her dressed this way. Maybe I'll just change maybe your view just for a moment from the king's point of view. You're looking the part. You're everything that he's wanting. All you have to do is keep feeding on this message. Keep listening to this word. Don't matter. Don't pay no attention to the rest of the people that are sitting up there on the porch while they're criticizing, making fun, and thinking that he'll never come back for you. Don't you pay no attention to them, because he made you a little, he gave you a little love note, and he put on you a seal, a kiss, a seal of the Holy Ghost, that it was a promise to you that I'm coming back for you with 1 year. And the rest of the world may laugh at you and they might criticize you, but he's promised you. When the rest of the world don't understand why you're dressing yourself the way that you're dressing yourself, you simply say, "He promised me that he was coming back for me. And if he promised me that he was coming back for me, I'm going to keep myself according to his word, not what the rest of the world thinks. But I'm going to dress myself according to the way that he wants." When you begin to study out Esther and you begin to study it through the message, one of the most amazing things to me is when Brother Branham begins to identify and study out Esther, he identifies her with the woman with the alabaster box. I looked long and hard at it. And I thought, how in the world could Brother Branham identify her with this woman of disgrace, a woman that had spent her life doing evil deeds? But he did not compare her to her mistakes. He did not compare her to her last name. He did not compare her according to her deeds that she'd done. He compared her to her spirit. Because when this woman, when she saw Jesus sitting in a seat unwelcomed, she came before him with all that she had. William Branham identified her that she came before him in a quiet, pure, meek spirit, exactly how Esther came before the king. He doesn't see your mistakes. He doesn't see where you came from. When the rest of the world wouldn't entertain him, this woman made a choice. I can't come on my own deeds. I can't come upon my own righteousness. I can't come upon my own name, because all those are filthy rags. But I've got to come before him. And when she came before him, and the scripture tells us that she came in behind him, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. And she began to break the alabaster box and anoint him. Simon was sitting there. Judas was sitting there. Peter was sitting there. If he really was a prophet, he wouldn't let this be done. He would know what type of woman she is. But with Jesus to his back to her, begin to tell her story, where she came from, why she's here. You didn't welcome me. I'd say that maybe it was kind of a setup like this. It was a great feast. And people were talking about the politics of the day. They were talking about the things of the world that were going on. And they missed that Jesus was sitting over in a corner with dirty feet. And all she cared about was coming to worship him. Let me say, when you get done washing Jesus' feet, there's something going to be said about it. Because this woman is not going to go down like the rest of women. She is going to be down. She's going to go down in history, as Jesus would say, that wherever the gospel is preached, there will be a memorial of this woman. I had it in my notes. Who would set out a chair for the king? Here we have our Lord Jesus sitting here. We know his decision about you, because he already told us, I do. But what's your decision today? In sickness and in health, will you love him? Will you keep him? Will you be a wife to him when nobody else wants to be a wife to him? Will you love him and cherish him? Would you allow him to come and sit down at your table and be the unseen guest? If you allow him and set out a seat for him, you won't be remembered as an orphan no more. You'll be remembered as a queen. And if you can ever learn this, that when Jesus came to meet this woman, when he had his back turned to her, and he began to preach to Simon, said, Simon, I left a healing campaign out there. I left lepers out there. I left blind people out there. But Because you invited me, I came. But you didn't wash my feet. You didn't anoint me. But this woman, ever since I got into the room, she's had something on her heart that she would worship me all the days of her life when others people wouldn't worship me. If you can ever figure out, young people, that the reason why Jesus is in the room is because of you, you'll start living a whole completely different life. That the reason why he showed up in these meetings is because of you. He didn't show up here because of Andrew Spencer or Brother Josh Bennett. He did not show up here just because of Brother Reagan and all of these other brothers. He showed up here for you. And I believe it ought to be a testament to you of where you're sitting at in your condition right now, that he cared so much about you to come all the way from the portals of glory and to come and spend the evening with you, that to tell you, you're not destined to be in the background. He might have found you in the background. And you might be back there washing the dishes, and you might be back there on the scene when the rest of the world is in the front of the view. But there on the backside, when you're throwing out the dishwater, that's when he sees your true character. And when you're trying to hide that you don't have the nicest of things, it's exactly what he's looking for. I would say that the bride of Jesus Christ has everything that our King is looking for. And when you get to your position, you'll match his kingship and his queenship. I believe that we have great anticipation. I believe we have great anticipation. I'm not a very old man. I'm getting that way. Don't stand too close to me because my red hair's looking more like a cinnamon bun than red hair. I'm not too old of a man. But I do wake up with stupid ball injuries every once in a while. I wish I wouldn't have acted like a Superman all those times. So I'm giving you a word. Don't act too crazy tomorrow. But enjoy yourself. I'll be watching you. I'm not too old of a man just yet, but there's something on the inside of me that longs for a change. Everything within me, I enjoy all these moments. I enjoy all these meetings. And I enjoy the presence of the Lord more than anything else in this world. And when you get into that place, in that position where you're spending that much time with him, that you can feel him in the room and you don't want him to leave, you're in a position that a queen has been elevated to, that the rest of the world don't know what it's like. And I hate leaving his presence, but I am anticipating more than anything else his coming. But can you imagine his anticipation as he looks out upon your life and he sees you matching his promise? He say, I'm coming soon. I promised you I was coming. I told you I was coming. Brother Branham said he could hear that buck wagon coming down the street as the sand was rolling underneath the wheels. And it was the last day, and she began to dress herself. She put on her garments. Brother Branham said that here she was, the bride-to-be, was holding her flower, a bouquet, in her hand. He said, without a bit of nervousness, because she knew he was coming. I love what Brother Branham said. He said, when she saw that buck wagon turn the corner, she jumped off the porch, and he jumped off the chariot and stepped in and swooped her up and told her, said, honey, it's all over. You're destined for a crown. So carry yourself like he sees you as a queen. May God bless his word. Maybe we'll just have a word of prayer. turn it back over to our brother Donnie tonight. Father, oh, how we long to live a life that so pleases you. A testimony that would match your kingship, oh God. Something that you set up before time, before molecules and atoms took their position. Lord, we invite you, Father, to our hearts like never before. Lord, every person here sitting under the sound of our voice just now, Father, I'm believing with all of my heart that they're going to be sitting there across the table from me. And we won't have to play games and see who wins the prize, because we'll all be winners there. Father, so under that word, under that belief, Father, that we'll all be sitting there. We won't miss it. Your prophet would say in this generation that the bride has the material on earth to make themselves ready. Father, I pray that they would take this message that I love with all of my heart, that changed my life, that saved an old preacher's son that was wayward. May the message, which is Christ, come find them, lift them up into a position that they'll recognize they were destined for greatness. They were destined for the crown. I pray, God, that your blessings be upon your people, Father. I so love them with all of my heart, and I trust that they'll be there. In Jesus' name, amen. Where would I be? God only knows. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place.
And we stand together. Thank you, Brother Andrew. So appreciate the word tonight. I saw yesterday that in the state of Utah, several parents had come to a middle school because some of the students in that school consider themselves furries. So some of them think they're dogs, cats, raccoons, all kinds of animals. So they're biting other students in school, licking them with their tongue. And I read that and I thought, what a sad time to be living, to where kids think that they're animals. A school teacher in the message a while back told me in the state of North Carolina that they're actually putting out litter boxes for students in the schools because they think they're animals. And yet you've come tonight to be in the presence of God. I pray that God will help us to realize how blessed we are. What a terrible time. Men don't know if they're men anymore. Women don't know if they're women anymore. While the world is groping in insanity, but God has a bride that recognizes who she is and what she's here for, and it's to serve his purpose. We've been so honored that you would spend this evening with us. We have service tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and then again Sunday for those of you that would like to remain and be with us in the Sunday service. Brother Andrew will be speaking both there, and Brother Josh did two tremendous services for us. And we're just so blessed to have these brothers that would come and be with us. So as you go, may the blessing of the Lord just be upon you. And just as we sing this song together, think about where would you be if it wasn't for his grace? Maybe you would think he was a dog or a cat or an animal. But God, by his grace, has opened your eyes to help you to see. You're not here just to be an electrician, a plumber, a housewife, a farmer. but you're here to serve God's eternal purpose. Let me sing it together. Thank you, Lord. Where would I be? You only know, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, through eyes of love. Sing it. Can we just raise our hands as we sing it together? Where would I be, Lord? You only know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Eyes of love, a hopeless case. If not, ask Brother Josh if you'll come and dismiss us in prayer. Thank you so much. We want to say again how we appreciate all the preparation of the local church here. Sisters did all the decoration. They've spent days and days in doing that, getting the food and all that ready, the tables and so on. Could we give them a nice hand for that?
Let's just bow our hearts together. Lord Jesus, Lord, what a privilege and an honor it is to be gathered here this evening. Lord, to look across this audience of young people and just to think of all the places they could be, but yet they're here and they have a desire to serve you. And Lord, there's something, Lord, that's drawn them. I believe it's more than just acquaintances and friendships, but Lord, they love you, and we know, God, that as it's been said tonight, you love them. Lord, I just think about us hearing our brother minister tonight, Lord, that the scripture says that the bride has made herself ready, and then your prophet said the material that we needed to make ourselves ready is now here. Lord, you've provided that through the message of the hour. I pray, oh God, that you just help us to take that material now, and let's just put on the garments. And Lord, as your prophet said, he desired that the crowning of his ministry would be that he could dress a bride in the clothes of the word, that he could present a bride to you. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that I'd be a part of that. Lord, I pray that every one of these young people will be a part of that. Lord, may we just stand, Lord, as a part of that great bride of all the ages, dressed in the clothes of the word, wrapped in the robes of your righteousness. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless all that has put forth an effort to make this possible. I pray, God, that you would just bless them abundantly. Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the honor, all the worship and all the praise, for you alone are worthy. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Rob, Brother Joe, any more announcements? We're good to go. All right, we're finished. Okay. God bless you all. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus.